Hello and welcome to Be the Change, the latest podcast from the Climate Clinic, a brand new series brought to you by the Global Consortium on Climate and Health Education. We now know that healthcare contributes to the climate crisis and makes up more than 4.4% of net global climate emissions. The health sector must be a societal leader in protecting public and planetary health from climate change. In order to do this, it needs to decarbonize rapidly, build resilience and adaptive capacity, as well as fostering health equity and meeting global goals, including universal health coverage. In this series, we'll be talking with experts from around the world in order to shine light on exactly what you can do in your communities today. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Be the Change. It's my absolute pleasure to introduce today's guest, Dr. Stefan Wheat. Stefan is an emergency physician and faculty in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Washington, USA. With the Center for Health and the Global Environment, CHANGE, at the University of Washington, Dr. Wheat works to understand the scope of the health threats posed by climate change, promote healthcare system adaptation and emergency preparedness, and inform policies to keep people safe in a rapidly changing world. Stefan completed a fellowship in climate and health science policy at the University of Colorado, where he worked as a physician fellow at the Department of Health and Human Services. He's also worked as an associate research scientist at Columbia University's GCCHE. His work has included founding ClimateRx, a seamless tool designed to help health professionals to connect with patients and colleagues on how we can respond to the health risks of climate change, and the development of climate resources for health education, CRHE. Stefan, thank you so much for joining us today for Be the Change. We're really excited to be talking about the new product which you've brought out for healthcare professionals. But before we jump into ClimateRx, tell us about your medical background and how you got involved with healthcare sustainability.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. Big fan of the podcast. So yeah, I am an emergency physician and faculty at the University of Washington in the Department of Emergency Medicine, and I work with some amazing folks out here doing work around climate and health and sustainability. How I got into this, I think, you know, I was raised in a community that I think really valued environmentalism and biodiversity and generally just celebrating and, you know, attempting to protect natural ecosystems. And, you know, I think those values kind of pervaded much of my upbringing and my education. And the most kind of single, if I could choose one thing, one experience, it'd be my experience with volunteering with an organization, an NGO called Health in Harmony. Fairly well known, I think, in the climate and health space, their kind of whole model is based around this, a very simple idea. It's that, you know, people can't, you know, care about the climate and the environment until they have their basic needs met. And one of those needs, of course, is health. And so what they did is that they partnered with communities alongside kind of surrounding national parks in Borneo and offered them subsidized or free healthcare in exchange for them avoiding extractive processes like logging in these rainforests.
That's a great model. I think it's one, almost the ideal model where you help support developing countries to almost not only in the long run decouple from carbon emissions and greenhouse gas emissions, but also, as you say, ensure that basic needs are met so that they can consider sustainability. I'm really thrilled to have you on the show, as I've said already. Let's get into the meat of this podcast, which is your brand new product, ClimateRx. What is it?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to tell you a little bit about it, Adesh. ClimateRx, it's the first patient-facing and web-supported intervention platform that connects health professionals and their patients to accessible information on how climate change is impacting health. And in practice, what that looks like is that clinicians wear badges attached to their ID badges in their, you know, workplaces that prompts the people looking at them with messages like care for your health and our climate, which clearly make the association between health and climate. My, inspiration for creating this was a campaign that is called the VOTER campaign, the Healthy Democracy campaign, that came out around the time of the 2020 U.S. presidential election. And they had this, another kind of very simple idea that was really, really powerful, which was that voting is a health issue. But, you know, even despite this fact, You know, the fact that we know that how we vote impacts our health, it's not really a topic that was generally discussed in the healthcare or clinical arena. And I think the VoteER campaign changed all of that. It was remarkably successful. It's grown, you know, seemingly exponentially since their start. And, you know, I got to work with this campaign during my training when I was a resident in emergency medicine at the University of Arizona. And, you know, I saw a similar opportunity for making a connection between climate change and health as there was a connection between voting and health. And I also saw, I think, a hunger amongst clinicians for a tool that could help make that connection. And, you know, I think generally speaking, you know, at ClimateRx, we have three essential goals. You know, we have a goal to empower healthcare providers and their status as trusted messengers to provide patients with actionable resources to help them reduce the health impacts of climate change and be involved with efforts to, you know, reduce their own impact on climate change if they're interested. We also want to establish a community of practice amongst healthcare providers to engage on issues at the intersection of climate and health. And we also want to promote best practices for how healthcare providers can engage their patients on the impacts of climate change and health.
This is getting me super excited. I've already checked out the website and looked into it. It's absolutely fantastic initiative. And from a practical level, you've described sort of how it works, that, you know, your users, your healthcare professionals who are using it will wear these badges. On a practical note, how does it look for the healthcare professionals that will be using this site? What are your asks from them? How do they assimilate this sort of information and knowledge that are there? Is it tutorial based? Is it self-upskilling on there? What does your interface look like for the healthcare professional?
Yeah, so I think that's a really, really important question. And I think that kind of gets to the important, you know, the unique and important part of what ClimateRx brings to the table, and also gets to the barriers that clinicians have to engaging on these issues in the first place, right? And, you know, from, you know, social science research, including from, you know, Ed Maybach's group at George Mason, we know that there are essentially three primary barriers for clinicians of all varieties to engage their patients on issues around at the intersection of climate change and health. And those three barriers include, first of all, time. Most clinicians are already overtaxed when it comes to their workplace and what they're trying to do. So it's hard to ask them to do more, which is in a sense what we're asking them to do, to you know, engage with their patients on this. Second, it's knowledge. Most clinicians, even clinicians who think that this is an important topic and think that they have a responsibility to engage their patients on these issues, don't feel that they have the baseline knowledge to be able to authoritatively engage their patients on these issues. And then finally, I think there's a perceived lack of support or amongst your peers that, you know, you might try to engage your patients, but your peers would not support you in doing that, which I think, you know, so far has been borne out as a false perception, but it still exists. And what ClimateRx is doing, and I think why it's so powerful, is that it tries to break down each of these barriers. You know, the first one being time. You know, ClimateRx, it doesn't really ask a clinician to, you don't have to sit down and have a conversation with your patients about climate change. You're wearing a badge that has a QR code that links your patient to all the information that they would need. If they are interested and they see your badge, you're already having a powerful impact by making that implicit connection between, you know, as the patient, you know, you're seeing your doctor wear something that says, you know, climate change is impacting their health. That is a powerful connection that you're making without doing anything at all, right? And then all they have to do is scan the QR code to learn more. If you're interested in discussing and engaging your patients, that's great, but it is not necessary. Second, from the knowledge standpoint, again, you don't have to be an expert on this subject in order to engage your patients. All you have to do is know that you care about this and you want to be able to engage your patients. And so you can link them and or refer them to the QR code so that they can learn more. And then finally, I think it's that perceived lack of support amongst peer groups is, you know, the great thing about ClimateRx is that it's visible, right? You know, you're not walking around and just hoping that people that you work with care about this issue too. You see that they care about this issue too, because they're wearing it on their badge. They're wearing it. And I think it's the same thing we saw with the Vote ER campaign. I saw so many people start to wear these badges in 2020, and it was really exciting to see how many of my colleagues really cared about this issue and wanted to help their patients register to vote. And I think it's the same thing comes with climate change.
When it comes to, obviously, climate and health is an evolving field, and the data and the literature is growing, and you know the availability of information for us to provide and educate our patients is also growing day in and day out, and it sort of almost feels exponentially. Let's talk a little bit about the behind the scenes. So this is your brainchild here. This is your sort of project. But who's come together to bring this data together and produce these materials for the patients? Is there and how regularly will those materials be updated? Is it the sort of thing that will be reviewed every few months, or how does it work on that side of things?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And what I'll say is that I obviously couldn't create this on my own. I was very fortunate when, you know, I first had the idea of creating this campaign. You know, I was in the middle of climate and health science policy fellowship at the University of Colorado, and I was working with an NGO here in the United States called Eco America, and they're already a leader when it comes to this, and they already create resources that are designed to be patient facing. But I think, you know, this is creating a platform that allows those resources to get out there. And so, you know, all of their resources are evidence-based and fact-checked, and they have a phenomenal team of experts that help to make sure that what they're putting out is rooted in the literature. And this platform is really just designed to help get those resources out there more effectively. Now, we created additional resources for ClimateRx specifically, but a lot of it is just, you know, repurposing those resources to be able to get them to patients more effectively. And as far as, you know, developing new content and how often we review, I think a lot of those processes are still being figured out for a campaign like this. It's myself and you know, I think a relatively small team at Eco America who is developing this. And we are constantly kind of thinking about how we can do this better and what can be updated. And I think that's where we're at right now. And we're excited to see how it grows.
So what I'm hearing from you, Stefan, is that this feels like more of an approach, a concept come campaign. And I'm loving that, because it's rather than, it ensures this is wider, this is bigger, and it sees the wider picture in terms of not just providing a singular resource or a group of resources, but it's, you're trying to change ways of practice and sort of educate patients on a sort of much wider level, which I think is going to be far more effective in what we need in healthcare and climate change as well going forwards. Does ClimateRx account for the differences in practice, perhaps, and maybe baseline patient education across different regions in the world? Or is this specifically targeted at a US audience? Or is this something that you envision globally is going to have good uptake?
Yeah, it's a great question, Adesh. And Eco America, as you can tell by their name, is specifically focused on a US population. So I think for now, we're trying to, you know, get the best uptake we can for US-based clinicians. I think I have aspirations to be able to expand this to other parts of the world. And I've discussed with, you know, people who work at the WHO, who I think are interested in trying to find ways to help facilitate that. But I think what our goal is to, you know, do the best that we can in where we are. And then, you know, when we can show the success of a program like this, and we are currently, you know, setting up ways to study this intervention, we're hoping to be able to expand beyond the US.
Fantastic. Also reminds me of a chat I had a few months ago now in one of our first podcasts with Dr. Hina Shan, public health expert from Pakistan during the flooding. And she was saying, we have such limited time with our patients. You know, some of them turn up every 4 or 5 years and we get that 10-minute window. And I'm just thinking, imagine if, you know, your GP there in, you know, Faisalabad or Karachi had like a ClimateRx badge there, and the patients, because interestingly, you know, regardless of whether this is lower income or middle income country, most people, funnily enough, have mobile phones these days and you know, the opportunity to be able to scan the QR codes. And if they do, then that was, it's a great opportunity for patients all across the world. So I'm excited to see where this goes. This primarily is America-centric, as you mentioned right now. You want to get it right and make sure you have the best reach and the optimal impact within the US. Have you launched, and how has the response been?
We have launched. We launched in October of 2022, so it's still a relatively new campaign, but I think we've had a pretty remarkable response. Our goal was initially just to kind of pilot the project in 2022 and then look to expand into 2023. And, in 2022, we partnered with, large national organizations like the American Public Health Association, the National League for Nursing, the National Student Nursing Association, and other similar groups so that we could distribute these badges kind of en masse reach that critical level before, you can start to have more and more people just register on their own. Because one of the most powerful things about this product is that anyone can go onto the website and register to receive their own badge. So if you're a clinician working in the United States, you can go onto our website and receive your own free ClimateRx badge that will be delivered to you in the mail.
Fantastic. And we are going to provide the link for that website in the show description and on our website as well, so you guys can access it, all of you who are listening in. We've already kind of touched on it, but as a final wrap up for ClimateRx, where do you see this going over the next 6 months, 1 year, a few years?
Yeah. We'd already talked a little bit about ambitions to be able to maybe expand internationally. I think that is maybe a year or more down the line. Our next goal in 2023, we already are obviously have the badges, which I think are the kind of keystone of this project. But I think there are other ways to be able to reach patients, and those other ways we're trying to expand into here in 2023. And those include things like flyers and posters that can be put in, even just like a clinic waiting room. And again, just making those simple associations between climate change and health and trying to reach as many people as we can.
I love it. It's going to be a constant reminder for all patients who will be attending clinics or, clinical environments where their physicians or nurses or surgeons are all wearing these badges. It's going to be a reminder saying, not only is this important for us, but we care. And by inference, and patients should feel, hopefully, we should care too. And this is an issue for everyone. Stefan, you're forging a career in climate change and health outside of your ER career. You're already, creating a niche for yourself as a global leader in this, especially with ClimateX now. Tell us a bit about some of the other projects or research that you might be working on in parallel with ClimateRx and your career as an ER physician.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think a lot of my work is around educating clinicians, because I think, the more clinicians you educate, the more you kind of force multiply this movement, right? You have more people who are engaged and create more leaders like yourself and me to be able to get out there and get the message out. So I work with the School of Medicine here at the University of Washington, and we're working to try and to integrate this content, climate and health content, into the undergraduate medical education curriculum here at the University of Washington. I also do a lot of work at the continuing medical education level with Project ECHO, and I'm working to try and see how we can integrate this content in at the graduate medical education level here at the residency in emergency medicine as well, which I think is one of the last frontiers of climate and health education here in the United States is GME education. And it's really, really challenging because, as Adesh, that residency level training, you're already so taxed and busy. But I think there are ways that you can effectively do that in a way that I think residents are interested and hungry for. One of the other projects that I'm working on currently, is around the ICD-10 coding system and how we can use the ICD-10 coding system to better gather data around the impacts of climate change and health. Because I think, while evidence obviously points to climate change adversely impacting health and well-being, I think there's a great deal of need for more authoritative and actionable data that better describes the full magnitude and scope of, this growing crisis. And I think healthcare providers have, with our interaction with ICD-10 and our, on the ground contextual knowledge of what's going on with patients, have the ability to augment our understanding and those data sets. So that's another project that I'm working on currently.
Fantastic. And like you said, the data is there. We just need the ability to be able to synthesize it and analyze it and compile it for our benefits to understanding, furthering our understanding with climate change and health. As we wrap up this podcast, Stefan, it's been wonderful to talk to you. Why don't you give our listeners a final message or some thoughts with regards to climate and health and some of the work that you've been talking about?
Yeah, I think if I was to leave your audience with one final message, I think it's a message that comes from one of my heroes in this space, Catherine Hayhoe. I think she often says that, you know, what everyone should do is just have a conversation about something you have in common with whoever you're talking to. And I think as clinicians, we all have in common our desire for a healthy life, right? And we as clinicians, therefore, really have the capacity to connect with every single person on the climate crisis. So yeah, just talk about it. Talk about it with your patients. Talk about it with everyone.
Great, powerful message to finish off today's podcast. I'm so happy to have recorded this and really excited for our listeners to be hearing this as well. So Stefan, thank you very much for joining us. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more from you soon.
Thank you very much, Adesh. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much for tuning in for another episode of Be the Change, a podcast in the series Climate Clinic, brought to you by the Global Consortium on Climate and Health Education. See you again soon.